my friend, are listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This episode is brought to you by listeners just like you. Check out our Patreon today to see how you can support the show directly and receive some awesome perks, like early access to episodes just like this one. Check it out for yourself at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. And by SquareFrog. If you're looking to upgrade your PC with some really quality accessories at pretty insane prices, gotta check SquareFrog out. Check out the show notes at thehappyhearthstone.com to see how you can support the show directly through purchases through them. Hello and welcome to episode 104 of the Happy Hearthstone Podcast, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown, and I don't know about you guys, but my head is spinning because there have been so many cards happening, and we're not going to talk about many of them. But instead of that, we've got a lot to talk about as far as choosing a deck and what that could mean for you and your gameplay. I brought on a faithful listener to the show and a new friend, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Hey, Andrew. My name's Craig. I'm the bald-headed Hearthstone player, and I'm here to talk some cards. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. Actually, I put my name in the hat when I heard you talking about Captain Greenskin and how you opened it way too many times.
Yeah.
I swear, me too. I think I must have opened 4 or 5 Captain Greenskins before the change. Oh, yeah. And I remember I disenchanted it, opened it not too long later, and that was before the change.
Oh, my gosh. So you're my Captain Greenskin brother from another mother.
Oh, yeah. We're basically like, we pump weapons. We're going to have like a 5-4 Fiery War Axe in no time, my friend.
I like it, man. It might be destructive for the game, but we'll have a good time regardless. So, Craig, tell us a little bit about who you are, man, outside of your piratey ways and your unfortunate luck in opening packs, apparently.
Well, like I said, my name's Craig. Some people call me Craig of Canada. Spoiler, I'm Canadian. Oh. And, I know, right? And, I love Hearthstone. I would consider myself a casual tryhard. Not amazing at the game, but I definitely know my stuff. I love consuming content. I've listened to all the podcasts, including your own. And I'm just excited to be here and get a chance to talk the game I love.
It's going to be a lot of fun, man. Nate, you told me you are a bit of a Hearthstone podcast junkie, right? I mean, like, how many podcasts are you listening to on a weekly basis?
Hearthstone specific, sure. I'm listening to, I listen to pretty much all the big ones. I don't listen to too much Angry Chicken only because they're not on Stitcher Radio. Okay. Fix that, Garrett. And, Stitcher. Well, yeah, I'm an Android user, and Google Play Play Music isn't really my thing. So, Andrew, thank you for being on there. You're welcome. I've been listening for a long time. I listened back when you were on Velen's Chosen. That was actually how I found Happy Hearthstone.
Oh, awesome.
And let's just put it this way: I listen to at least probably 10 to 20 hours of Hearthstone content every week, and that's just podcasting alone.
Wow, so you know a thing or two about this game, or at least you know what the public opinion is about this game.
Exactly. I know what Reddit thinks, and I know what a bunch of random guys recording in their bedrooms think, and you know what? I love all you random people.
That's awesome. Now, getting into Hearthstone, was it something that you kind of stumbled into accidentally, or was this a game you were hyped for back when they first announced it? How did you get into the game?
Okay, well, funny story. I come from a Magic the Gathering background.
Okay.
Nothing crazy. I wasn't pro touring, but yay, I almost won a Friday Night Magic once.
Hey, that's so, a big deal.
Yeah, so I was actually really jaded on the game. I thought, oh, it's just a dumbed-down version of Magic. And you know what? For the most part, it is kind of a – it's not a nice way to say it, but it is an easier version of Magic, and I have nothing wrong with that because it costs – so much less than Magic. It's so much prettier than Magic. I don't know if you've ever played Magic online. It makes me want to throw up. It's awful. And my buddy actually convinced me to get into Hearthstone. He was a huge World of Warcraft player. He also liked Magic, and this is just combined the best of both worlds. And this game, I don't know what I'd do without it. I'd probably be a really boring person without it, actually.
Now, how long have you been playing it now?
Goblins versus Gnomes is when I first got into it. I remember crafting me a Dr. Boom and just loving life.
Okay, so you exploded into the manic state of Hearthstone.
Yeah, I immediately dropped $20 on Naxxramas. I said, holy moly, I'm never going to have this much frustration playing Hearthstone. And then I found the ladder, and boy, was I wrong.
That's right. And do you tend to play ladder mostly now, or what's kind of your bread and butter when it comes to the game time you have with it?
I do a bit of everything. I love playing against friends, but ladder is definitely where I spend the majority of my time. Mm-hmm. I play some casual when I don't have the time, I'll play me some casual. And arena too. I like arena, especially that dual class thing that happened about a month back, two weeks back, whatever. Fun. Oh my God. That was my first. I was always stuck at the 9 win key, and now I hit myself the 11 win key.
Nice.
Oh man. I played way too much arena. I had a bunch of gold saved up and,
And you spent it all accordingly, right?
Of course.
Something along those lines. Well, that's great, man. Well, we're in the throw of Kobolds and Catacombs coming out soon. Man, how are you feeling as we're eagerly anticipating that game? Do you think this is going to be good for the game? Are you nervous about some of the cards? How are you feeling overall?
Well, you know what? This is definitely the most fun I've had with an expansion in a long time has been Knights of the Frozen Throne. I think it's a great meta. I haven't been bored of it, but I did not know how much I needed this new expansion until I started seeing these cards drop, because Andrew, I cannot explain how excited I am.
Yeah, it's I was just telling you before we started recording that I'm hyped for every expansion. I mean, I'm kind of hook, line, and sinker into this game, if you haven't noticed. But this one really feels like something special. I mean, there's something about the card design in this set that it's not necessarily going to break the game, but there's just a lot of unique stuff that it feels like, I don't know, man, we might be going over the side of the cliff on this one into something that we've never known before as far as metas are concerned.
Oh, yeah. You get a weapon. Everybody gets a weapon.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Well, other than the expansion dropping, man, tell me why you're happy today.
Okay. I'm happy because, well, Black Friday just passed us not too long ago. Mm-hmm. And up here in Canada, we celebrate Thanksgiving a little earlier than you guys. So yeah, all we get is the benefits of a great Black Friday. So I got all my Christmas shopping done. And, I saved so much money. That was great. Loved it. Got myself a Keurig coffee machine. I was living in the past and not no more.
Oh, man. Future.
And, exactly. And, man, Christmas, I don't know about you, Andrew. Because we don't have Thanksgiving, we get to start celebrating Christmas, like, right after November 11th passes. It's time to get excited and just you know what I mean, get really pumped, and I'm just loving the decorations, and I'm loving getting ready. And then of course this new expansion, there's so much to be happy about right now.
Now I can't tell my wife that you guys do that, because if she knew that you guys start celebrating Christmas a little bit earlier, she might actually want to move out there. So I'm gonna hold off on that for now. I do have to ask, man, as far as Black Friday shopping, are you the Black Friday shopper that stays at home and does all the online stuff and is browsing through every single website? Or are you the one that's there at 2 a.m. like with your tent and your mug of Joe and all that?
Oh, man, I'm the guy who walks into the store around 9 a.m. and walks in. And we're in Canada. I don't know if it's just a stereotype, but, like, I'm telling you, most pleasant shopping experience I've had. Everyone's polite. There's no fighting. It's walking around, go, go, go. Everyone's doing good. All the stores are ready for us. It was just a wonderful experience. And everyone's excited. I have strangers coming up to me. This pressure cooker is only $60. And I'm like, oh, happy Merry Christmas, Mom. I know what I'm getting you.
That does sound like the stereotype, but I have to tell this story real quick. I'm sitting on the couch with my dad, and we're watching one of the football games this week, and the Walmart commercial comes on promoting Black Friday, and everyone just seems so nice and polite and just walking, and they're looking at these deals, and people are high-fiving each other. It sounds like they just shot that in Canada, because my dad was saying, that doesn't happen in real life, but apparently it does.
Oh, I'm telling you, I've never seen so many people with a smile on their face.
Oh
It was
my
wonderful.
Gosh. I'm doing all my Black Friday shopping in Canada from here on out. That sounds fantastic.
Hey, your dollar will go a lot further here too.
I believe that, man. That'll be good.
Well, but Andrew, you got to tell me, why are you happy?
You know I will, man. Well, I had a great Thanksgiving. So we did have the American Thanksgiving this past week. And honestly, like, I've kind of been working my butt off. So it's nice to get even just a couple days to just reset, refresh. I've got family down in Texas. It's my side. And they've definitely been missing their granddaughter. So it was nice to go down there for her to get some time with her papa and Lolly. And the weather was great. My goodness. I mean, it felt like everything was kind of in the right place. Sometimes holidays can be testy with family and, you know, in-laws and all that kind of stuff. But really for us, it just felt like a very smooth week, which I don't know about you. I like my holidays where things just kind of work, you know, it's just not every time. So you really got to soak in the ones that it seems to all go well.
Well, I'm happy to hear that, man. Everyone, the Thanksgiving's that holiday where we're not really celebrating anything, but we get to experience that time with family and we get to stay home from work. And it's so great.
No doubt, man. And I know that a lot of people actually don't get that time off. Also, I saw that Ro, actually, I think was from the Realm Maintenance podcast, was reminding us all about all those employees who actually have to be there for the Black Friday shopping and stuff like that. So if you were out there working on Thanksgiving, just want to say that I really do appreciate you. I hope you got double the pay. Maybe you didn't. Especially if you didn't, I really appreciate you. But yeah, man, I'm just super thankful that we had that. And now, you know, it is time to usher in a new season because Kobolds and Catacombs is coming out soon. And really, there's not a lot of news other than all these new cards, which we are going to talk about just very, very slightly. But there is a big piece of news that that actually just dropped like right after we recorded the last episode. And it's that we have really good reason to believe that this set is going to drop on Thursday, December 7th. And let me be very clear, there hasn't been an official announcement yet. But looking historically at when the December expansions have dropped, it's usually that first Thursday of December, which would be December 7th. And in an announcement that they had for the Invitational Tournament, which they did at BlizzCon, and now they're going to do another iteration of it in Australia that's going to be in December, they noted that all new expansion cards will be allowed. And I believe it's going to be December 10th and 11th that takes place. So it's not confirmed, but it's very likely that we are going to be cracking our packs December 7th. And that is so, so close. Craig, what do you think? Is this accurate? Is this just smoke and mirrors? What's going to happen?
Well, you know what? For the most part, these guys are right. I don't know who they are. They're geniuses. Hearthstone, I feel bad because you're trying to keep this a surprise. But hey, I don't mind having an idea.
No. I feel like it helps me to at least have something, you know, solid to look at and to kind of get all my hopes and ambitions for, rather than just kind of spinning off into I can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait. You know, it's at least I can focus my attention on, okay, we are a week and a half away, pretty much. I think that's about right. Maybe 2 weeks. That feels good to me.
Oh man, you have no clue. This is gonna be so good.
Do you have your pre-order already, Craig? Are you ready? Are you rocking the For the Horde card back?
I am. Well, I'm not walking the card back because I love me the Fireside card back. That is my favorite card back in the game. But yeah, I got the pre-order. I actually pre-ordered one for a friend of mine too because he has a little baby and a lot of bills to pay. So I decided to get him one. And man, this is going to be great.
Yeah, it is going to be a lot of fun. And we are going to do our review episodes with Steve coming up here soon. They should be the next episodes that drop. And that'll kind of get you through the Christmas season. Should be a lot of fun. But we do have to talk a little bit, especially since there's really not any other news. So we're going to talk about a few of these cards, Craig, that you actually brought that you wanted to talk about. So the first, I don't know, do you have these cards in front of you that you can read, or should I do that for us?
Oh, absolutely. I'll read one, and then you know what? Maybe you can read the next one.
Go for it, man.
All right, so the first one we're going to talk about, it just dropped a few days ago, and it is Arcane Tyrant. It is a 5-mana 4/4, but it costs 0 if you've cast a spell that costs 5 or more this turn.
And it's an elemental.
Oh, good catch. You know what? I didn't even see that the first time I looked at it. But I don't think that elemental synergy is going to matter too much here, because this card just seems like a perfect fit for Big Druid and maybe Jade Druid as well. Mm. Because not many classes are you going to be casting a ton of spells that cost five or more. But in Druid alone, three of their marquee cards are Nourish. So five mana, let's get two mana crystals and put a 4/4 on the board for free. I think that's a pretty good deal. Absolutely. Spreading Plague, nerf it? Nah. Let's give it a little buff now with this card.
Right, a 4/4 to nerf it.
and if 10 mana for 5 damage, a 5/5, draw 5 cards, gain 5 armor wasn't enough, put one or two 4/4s down with it. Ultimate Infestation just got real good.
Well, and especially when you draw into this out of those 5 cards, that'll be really nice to draw into it.
Oh, yeah, and your odds of drawing into it, if you don't already have it in your hand, are pretty good.
Now, I will say, I can see it fitting into some of those Druid archetypes, but the first thing I thought of, honestly, was Mage with this, because Mage has got quite a few spells that are up in that realm also, like Firelance Portal, Blizzard, Meteor, a Pyroblast even, and free 4/4, and Elementals can fit into that deck.
That is nice.
I think that we very well could see some kind of Elemental Mage that's a bit stronger because of this and some of the other Elemental cards that are popping up.
Yeah, and even with Priest, with all their huge, massive AoE, mm-hmm. I think they just got a new AoE spell too. It might fit in there, Free from Amber.
Sure, yeah.
This, I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of this card.
I mean, Cabal Crystal Runner is kind of similar to this, where it's discounted because of spells that you've played during the game, and that sees some play in the Tempo Secret, Mage deck. I think that you just can't count out a free 4/4.
Even Happy Ghoul's seeing a little bit of play.
Yeah, absolutely. It does take up a slot in your deck and doesn't do much otherwise. So there's that going for it or against it. But I think that you will see this, and certainly people are going to be messing around with it.
Oh, yeah. I can assure that we'll see this day one, day two.
That'd be good.
And maybe thereafter.
Well, the next one you had here was Sonya Shadow Dancer, the rogue legendary minion, 3-mana 2/2. After a friendly minion dies, add a 1/1 copy of it to your hand. It costs 1 mana. This is a crazy, crazy effect.
Oh, my goodness. Like, we haven't seen something like this yet. Like, we've seen something like this, but we haven't seen this effect yet. And I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, I mean, Cult Master gives you that persistent, really strong effect every time a friendly minion dies. But with this, whatever battle cry is on the minion that's dying, you're really going to get it again.
Including combos.
Right, for only 1 mana. I mean, you think of pretty much anything that's in a Tempo Rogue deck already. Bone Mare, Vile Spine Slayer.
Well, even imagine no one likes to draw patches, right?
Right.
It always feels bad. So now you have this, you play this out. Imagine it's turn 10, your patch is sitting in your hand because you haven't had a chance to do anything with it yet. You play this down, and now your patches is dealing 7 damage.
I mean, it costs 1 each time, but it's never ending. You just keep putting patches back.
And that's like a worst case scenario for this card. Like it's understated, so it's hard to say. Stealth would make this card just disgustingly broken. But man, the possibilities are endless with this card.
I'm really eager to see what the rogue weapon is going to be. And in fact, it may have been dropped by the time that this episode is released, but I kind of wonder if they're going to play off each other. But regardless, Sonya is going to be very strong right out the gates on her own.
Oh yeah, I think so.
And the last one we had here was one that was released recently, Hoarding Dragon, a 4-mana 5/6 dragon minion, death rattle, give your opponent 2 coins. Dude, this is a big buffed dragon.
Oh, I'd say so. Hoarding Dragon, clearly a little play on words from a hungry dragon.
Yeah.
And my hungry dragon, it didn't see play, but giving your opponent a 1-mana minion for free with initiative, yeah, that's going to be tough. With this one, it's got the death rattle, so you have the chance, if you wanted to, you could silence it, or you could buff it, making it harder to get rid of. And the fact that it's a dragon, the synergy is obviously there. And my goodness, two coins, risky, definitely risky. But the fact that they have to deal with this huge body before even getting access to those coins tells me that this might be a good card.
Well, and this is a great card in any kind of mill deck also. So you think about whenever there's a downside, you always want to think, how can I turn that into an upside? Giving your opponent two coins, if they've got a full hand, means they're going to burn a card next turn potentially.
Or something, well, I like your thinking.
So, and then you just got a 4-mana 5/6. Like, that's not a joke at all.
Yeah, and if you think about it like that in a mill deck, the Curator will bring out your Cold Light Oracle, and it'll bring this out.
Mm-hmm. I think that this is a very powerful card. I gotta wrap my brain around it because I haven't had a lot of time to think about this one. But
yeah, for sure. I'm not sure it's gonna see much competitive play, but I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. That stat line speaks for itself.
Gosh, there's just so much you can do with it. And I love it when there's a card like this that's it's rather simple in nature, but it's very complex how it can fit into different decks, how it can do and accomplish different things depending on which deck it's in and the kind of support it gets from those, you know, different spells and stuff. Really smart card design.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, like I said, me and Steve are already at work on our crazy spreadsheets and stuff. He did some incredible work getting us ready for that. So we are eagerly anticipating those shows. I'm sure you guys are as well. And those should be coming up soon. Again, once all of the cards have been released, then he and I will get some time and crack down 3 hours at a time to just unload all of our opinions about every single one of these cards. It'll be a good time. Well, real quick, I just want to take a second to thank our sponsors for this episode, which is Square Frog. Now, with holidays right around the corner, if you're looking for some high-quality PC accessories for you or another gamer, I don't know about you guys, but like this week while I was home, my parents were asking me, what do you want for Christmas? And I, as a PC gamer, I've always got something I'm looking for, right? So whether that's headphones or a mouse or a keyboard, a gaming chair, something like that, Square Frog has some great options, and they're at really insanely reasonable prices, really high quality stuff. Not only that, they've got a great sale going on right now with prices starting at $12, and free shipping is included in every single order, which I don't know about you guys, I love that when I see that, because whenever I see a price online, I'm always like, well, how much is going to be after tax and after shipping and all that? So the price you see, you might have to pay tax, but pretty much the price you see is what you're doing. That's pretty sweet. So if you're in the market for something, let's be real, all of us always have something we need upgraded. If you go to thehappyhearthstone.com and click on the link in the show notes to check out everything they have to offer, if you place an order, you'll be supporting this show with your purchase in the process. And I just want to thank Square Frog again for supporting the Happy Hearthstone. If you could get an upgrade, Craig, on anything on your computer setup, what would it be? What do you need right now?
You know what? I would love a great microphone and maybe a mixer. I'm not sure if they sell mixers, but I would love a mixer.
Because you do some podcasts also on the side, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I don't do them, but I guest on them frequently, and I'd like to make my own in the future.
Dude, mixing, you can do some really sneaky, fun stuff with. So.
Oh, yeah. Editing shows, it's a really cool thing. And with Square Frog, we can make these dreams come true.
Absolutely. That's a good plug, man. I like it. So, again, go to thehappyhearthstone.com, click on the link in the show notes, and check it out. All right, Craig, we've got a really cool topic here that you kind of surprised me with. Tell me how you came up with this idea to talk about how to find your perfect deck.
All right, so how to find your perfect deck is a question that more players need to ask themselves. Because when you can find the decks that you love to play, it doesn't matter what the meta is. It doesn't matter how quote-unquote stale the meta is. You will always have fun. And I think that just by taking that time to figure out what's my play style, what's my cards, what's the card that I love to play, what's my pet card, and then you can put that into a good, nice deck. That's what we want. That's what we need. And that's what we're here to talk about today.
That's great, man. Well, tell me how you kind of navigate through this topic. Why is it important for you?
Okay, so the reason that it's important for me is that I hear it all the time as people complaining about the meta. And it doesn't matter what meta I'm in. If I find decks that I enjoy and that I can get behind and I can find fun out of, then there always is a way to make them work and to win. Sure, you might have to play it. You might not be able to play every card that you want to play, but you'll be able to play a few of them. And it gets it's a lot less frustrating when you're doing stuff you like. So, like, I'll give it a little bit of preference. So there's not just one perfect deck. Everyone has their own perfect deck. Sure. And for you might have two or three perfect decks. In my case, I do. So I play an OTK rogue. That's a one-turn kill rogue. And it's definitely not meta, dang, but it's my fun combo deck. Okay. It was on – where did I find – this deck I actually found on Hearth Coach. I'm sure you've heard of them.
Oh, yeah.
And what the deck does is that it has – it uses Valyra, the rogue death knight, to take a South Sea Captain that has two attack in charge if you have a weapon equipped, mm-hmm, and then Cold Blood, because you get the extra one from Valyra. And now your South Sea Captain's hitting for 14. You slap a Faceless Manipulator on there, and now you're hitting them for 28 charge damage.
Wow. That's and pretty disgusting.
Right? And, like, this is a deck that I was able to find by consuming content, and in this case I found this one on a podcast, mm-hmm, and it's a cool I personally like playing off meta, because I think it's a little more fun, and you get the nothing feels better than getting a wow from your from the mage player or from the priest, you know.
Sure.
And so yeah, and I think that's a crucial thing, because if you're just playing Pirate Warrior because I know I'm living in the past here a little bit, but if you're just playing Pirate Warrior because it's the best deck in the meta, sure, you might have fun winning, but are you really having fun every time? And if you are, then congratulations, you found your perfect deck.
Sure. Yeah, and I think people undervalue having fun while you're playing often. You know, it's kind of tough. If your goal is to ladder up, you kind of have to put fun to the side. But if you haven't had fun all week with this game, then this is more of a job than a game, right?
Exactly. And you know what? And I think for the most part, if you look at let's use Tempo Storm as a reference here.
Sure.
If you use Tempo Storm and you take a look at all the tier 1 and all the tier 2 decks, I would be very surprised if there wasn't at least one deck in there that you love, that you really enjoy. And yeah, that might be the case, but I have a hard time believing it, because there's usually around 10 to 12 decks in that tier 1 to 2 category. And tier 1 to 2 is a great place to be when you're trying to climb the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, Big Druid. Big Druid is a crazy, wonky deck that, like, you can do such incredible things with. And it's tier 1, tier 2, and it's great. It's fun. You get to I'm playing Marin in my deck, because Marin's really cool.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's fun, and that's a big thing about playing your perfect deck as well, is that you can take that mainstream deck, and this is where I think Blister Guy's infographics come into hand, at Blister Guy on Twitter.
Those are great.
Yeah, right, because he actually takes the time to take decks from all the biggest pros and all the biggest streamers, and he'll lay them out in front of you, and he'll show you what the core cards are and what the flex spots are. And you can get a pretty great idea, because sometimes a deck that I was playing recently was Jade Druid. And Jade Druid's pretty – it can get boring, you know, because you're doing essentially the same thing every time. But Cream Puff had a list from Top Deck Kings.
Mm-hmm.
He had a list that was running 2 Dirty Rats and 2 Mind Control techs in it.
Right,
and it was
right.
Good. It was a really cool list, especially to combat the Razakis meta there with Raza.
Mm-hmm.
So that deck there, you got to do really interesting stuff by dropping a Dirty Rat and then taking whatever you dropped out with the Mind Control tech. And it's an interesting way, just by adding 2 or 3 cards to the deck, you get a whole nother experience that really lets you put your own style into it. If you want to play that big game hunter, throw that big game hunter in, man. It's not going to hurt your win percentage that much to play a card you love.
No, absolutely. What are the cards? Like, how do you determine a card that you love? Because honestly, when I think of something like, I know you just threw it out there, but like Big Game Hunter is something that like man, I'm running into so many big druids or a lot of big stuff that I just need to get rid of it. Like, is there any card that stands out as something that's like really your go-to for something really fun that you want to play often, Craig?
Well, for me, I, besides giant minions, hence the big druid,
sure.
I really like tech cards. And I know a lot, I know it's a bit of a hot take because a lot of players think that tech cards are a little too swingy, but I love the big swing. It is such a fun moment for me. Like Harrison Jones in this next meta, I think that's going to be just hilarious.
You're going to make
like,
some people cry with that.
Oh, yeah. They're going to draw three cards with their seven mana weapon, then I'm going to draw three cards and put a giant body on the table.
Right.
And yeah, but for me, it's tech cards, but everyone has a card they love. If you play wild, I'm sure you have that Dr. Boom, and most lists aren't playing Dr. Boom. Put the Dr. Boom in. Have some fun. Live a little. You're going to enjoy it. You know what I mean? It's not all about being optimal, and you can play a very optimal deck with a couple cards that aren't so streamlined. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's good. You also mentioned on here that Demon Zoo is another one that you really like. You want to talk about that?
Yes, Demon Zoo, specifically in Wild. I know there is standard decks for it, mm-hmm. but right now in Wild, Demon Zoo is a really powerful deck. And the crazy thing is we're not playing Implosion and we're not playing Imp Game Boss, which are two cards that you'd expect to see in this kind of deck.
Sure.
But for this one, the reason you're not playing Implosion and Imp Game Boss is that we're playing Blood Reaver Gul'dan, and we don't want to bring back 1/1 demons. That's not what we're looking for in this deck. So what it is, it's a Kazakus deck, first of all. Or is that what it, or Kel'Seth?
It's a Highlander. Kel'Seth. Oh, Kel'Seth.
No, my apology. Yeah, okay. It's the 2-mana 2/2 that buffs your whole deck.
Yep.
Love that card in it. I'm playing the Pirate Package in it with two Blood Sails and two South Seas, a 3/3
mm-hmm.
That buffs your pirates. And Void Call, I think it's Void Caller, the one that the 4-mana 3/4 from Naxx that when it dies, it brings a demon out.
Yeah.
And man, Doomguard feels so good when you don't have to pay for it and you don't to discard.
Or Mal'Ganis for free? Come
oh
on, yeah.
My god, Mal'Ganis. And then you're like, they're like, oh, finally, I dealt with his Mal'Ganis. And you're like, Blood Reaver Gul'dan! Then he's back, baby! And all your demons are huge. And man, it feels good. And it's a fun deck. And I'm actually doing really well with it. Last month, I made it to rank 7 Wild, and that's on, it was on very limited time.
Yeah, nice.
And it was a lot of fun, and I would strongly recommend that deck. And if you like Wild and you haven't had a chance to play with Mal'Ganis, nothing is cooler than seeing your hero go immune and your demons get huge. Give it a shot.
No doubt, man. Now, what would you say for somebody who feels like they don't really know their style? What are kind of some first tips for somebody to figure out their play style or what their favorite deck might be, if they just kind of go from one deck to another that they find online or recommended by other people? How can they kind of find their own flavor?
Yeah, so for me, one, I think get to know yourself. Play a game and maybe either write it down or really think about it. Am I having fun? So I know some guys love playing a quick game. If you don't want to sit down for 20 minutes, then maybe Highlander Priest isn't the way to go. And maybe you should pick up an Evolve Shaman or an Aggro Druid. I find most people are lodged into three categories for their deck style, and it's either aggro, mid-range, or control. And then, you know what? Let's throw combo in there as well. So find which one of those you like the most. And if there's lots of them, then that's fine. Find what you got to slowly kind of figure out what deck you like. And maybe it's the hero power that you're really into, or maybe it's the class, you know, like for me, it was Druid. Druid's the only class that I have gold in at the moment. And man, I love Druid. I still play it to this day, even though I got those 500 wins. And for finding it. And then also, think about your goals. If your goal is to have as much fun as you can with this game, then you have to think too. Maybe you have fun from winning. Then yeah, play the tier one decks and figure out which one you like the most. And I guess this one, people don't want to hear this, but I think you need to you need to play all the decks. You need to play as many of the decks as you can. And that does suck. I understand, because some people can't afford to do it. But maybe watch some YouTube videos and check out the decks you want to play before you dust and get an idea of what they're all about. But me, I spend enough money. I always pre-order, and then I usually buy packs as well. Not all the time there, but I usually do. And I think you need to try as much as you can. You need to really, really try as many decks as you can and have fun with it.
Yeah, I know that was a big thing that I started picking up when I wanted to just get better on the ladder, was understanding, like, I need to know how these other decks play against mine. So not only do you need to know your deck more than anything, but you really need to know how other decks play too. But the cool thing about playing other people's decks that you either see on Twitch or that you come up against on the ladder or anything like that is that you find play styles you may not have known before. You find that they tech in cards you never would have thought of. I was playing today on ladder, and I came up against a pirate rogue, and they were playing Ethereal Peddler, which I haven't seen in a long, long time. And I was sad for them because I was rogue also, so they didn't get any kind of bonus from it. But they smoked me, and they were playing Naga Corsairs. They were playing all sorts of stuff I wouldn't have thought of. So really, like, you know, after a game like that, saying, you know what, let me take a break. Let me see if I can find a deck similar to this online or even from my own recollection, just try and arrange it. And if I can figure out how this deck works, that's going to make me a better player, for one. But for two, I might actually find something that is really surprisingly fun and actually fits me better than whatever else I'm clinging to at the time.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think a really good place to look for decks that might be a little off kilter, a little off meta, I love HearthstoneTopDecks.com.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Evident is the person who runs that site.
Yeah.
And he does a fantastic job. Like, you just go, they have a little task bar at the top of the screen there that you can drop menu, and then you can pick what classes you want to look at. It'll show you all the decks, and he doesn't just grab pro decks, he doesn't just grab tournament decks, he grabs all the streamer decks, he grabs all the big personalities out there. He takes all their decks and lays it out there, and you can even type in your favorite card, write down bone mare, and it'll show you every deck that has a bone mare in it.
Right.
And it's super fun to see them. And like, a lot of them, they're only off by like 3 or 4 cards, but that's like the seasoning that makes the deck yours, you know? And, and then you can always add your stuff too. Me, I'll be honest, I am a bit of a deck list user. I don't make too many modifications here and there. Yeah. But, there's so many awesome deck lists out there. Like, last meta, I was playing Evolve Shaman, and I took out the Manatide Totems, and I put in 2 Cult Masters. And it was just, no one was playing around a Cult Master. So they would, you know, you'd have a full board. Maybe they're setting up for a Primordial Drake.
Sure.
And then you just lay that Cult Master down and swing in, trade your minions, draw up to 10 cards in your hand, and you're just loving life and getting the wow emote. And like I said earlier, nothing feels better than amazing.
I feel like you're the person that I hate to run into on the ladder, Craig. I'm just going to come right out and say it.
There's nothing I enjoy more than putting someone else in a situation where they're like, how was I supposed to know that he's playing that?
Exactly. How was I supposed to know that he found a way to make Magma Rager work? I mean, I couldn't have seen that coming.
I did try a list with Magma Ranger when when that 3/3 came out. I want to say Darkshire Librarian, whatever it is. The 3/3 that makes Divine Shields for the 1 health minions. I had to give it a shot. Full disclosure, didn't work. Didn't expect it to work, but it was cool when it did work.
One of these days he's going to have his comeuppance, and we are all going to fear the rage inside of the Magma.
I was really hoping Elementals were going to do it, but it's still not even that playable in Arena.
No, unfortunately. Craig, you got some other great resources here. Why don't you plug these for people who are trying to find their perfect deck, may need a little bit of inspiration or want to go just find something brand new that they haven't discovered before.
Yeah, so like I said, Hearthstone top decks is a great one. Hearthpwn is another good one where it's a really community driven on there, and that's where you'll find some of the cutest decks is when you're looking at the stuff that the community's creating. And then podcast, I cannot stress enough how much a podcast is great. Think about when you're driving to work, how much time you spend at red lights. It is so much more enjoyable when you're listening to a podcast about something you love.
I agree.
And oh yeah, it's such an untapped resource.
Hey, you should plug some of your favorites here. What are some of those ones, especially for deck inspiration that you think of?
Okay, well, deck inspiration, I can't stress enough how I've always loved this show, but it's even better. Top Deck Kings,
yeah.
Cream Puff is phenomenal. I've never heard something like, and I would give a warning that this podcast is a kind of more for intermediate to great players. Beginners, you might want to stick with stuff like Valen's Chosen or Angry Chicken, stuff like that. But Top Deck Kings, amazing podcast for some really cool like tech decisions and stuff like that. Hearth Coach, every week they put out an episode where they'll actually play the episode on the show. It can be hard to follow sometimes, but it's a lot of fun, and you get to see it from I wouldn't call him a pro, but Frit is an amazing Hearthstone player, and Dan tries his hardest. Really good show to pick up some cool wonky decks.
No doubt.
Yeah, and I'll just list off a couple more. Coin Concede is a great one. Well Met, they both do a deck of the week on those two shows. And there's so many more that I'm forgetting right now. Guys, I love all the Hearthstone podcasts. You're all great. Tier 5. I wish I could name you all right now. But podcast, guys, is great. Like, you can what else can you... You can wash the dishes and listen to a podcast. Like, life is good. YouTube... obviously is a really good place because you get to see a lot of the cool parts of the decks, the stuff that you don't get to necessarily see when you're watching a stream, because these streamers, they're going to put up the really impactful stuff onto YouTube. A couple that I love is Ali Straza. She's really good. Brian Kibler does a lot of wonky creations. And Disguised Toasts, what can I say? He's got to have the best YouTube channel out there. Discord is Andrew, is Discord still doing good when with this new Blizzard client? I think a lot of people are still sticking to Discord.
Oh, yeah.
Now
no reason that Discord is going the way of the mammoth.
All right, awesome. Yeah, I subscribe to a wild Discord. I wish I could remember what it was, but the way that I found it is I googled wild Discord, and right away I found a great place. There's the Valen's Chosen, there's Coin Concede. There's tons of Discords on it. Just go on Google and type in Hearthstone Discords. You're going to find a lot. And they're very, very, very good for finding decks and being able to have that back and forth discussion.
Yeah.
Twitter, can't stress it enough. You go into Twitter and literally just search the deck you're looking for. There will be a ton of deck lists if you just go down. People love to post their creations, what they hit legend with. And Blister Guy, at Blister Guy specifically on Twitter, does these beautiful deck infographics where we talked about it earlier. He lays it out. It makes it, you get to pick exactly what you like, what you want, make your own modifications, and it's all there in a really nice Photoshop picture. Check it out. There's so much more. The tier list, Vicious Syndicate, Tempo Storm, Disguised Toast website is really good. Man, literally, there is so many resources. You're a fool if you're playing a lot of this game and you are not tapping into at least two or three of these.
So those are all really great ideas. The only two I'm going to add on, one, I'm going to, of course, plug our Google Plus community for the Happy Hearthstone. People are sharing deck lists over there all the time. And also have to give a shout out to my buddy Robert, who started The Inn over on Facebook. So if Facebook is your social media place of choice, definitely search for The Inn and go hang out there. People are posting all the time about deck lists and same kind of stuff where it's just random shenanigans and a lot of fun. Robert, I actually got to meet over at DreamHack Denver, and really cool guy. Really thankful for the community he's created there. So a couple other options there if you haven't found your bread and butter yet there. But this certainly is on you if you can't find anything, because there's so much great stuff out there.
Oh yeah, it's everywhere, and it's so good. This community is so good. Like, I stay off of Reddit, so I don't see much of the bad. But don't get me wrong, Reddit, I'm sure you guys have great stuff on there. But guys, there is always a positive community that you can find.
No doubt, man. Well, anything you want to say as we kind of wrap up this section? Any final thoughts about that perfect deck?
Yeah, all I can say is, please take some time to find a deck that you enjoy. If you're not having fun with this game, do something else. Unless you're making money off of it, then by all means, do what you need to do.
And even if you're making money off of it, if you're not enjoying it, you're not going to keep doing it for much longer.
Exactly.
That's good, man. Well, all great stuff there. I hope you guys found some really good takeaways. Eager to hear what you guys think and certainly which decks you find. Maybe there's someone out there, Craig, who's going to take your advice, and it's just sort of like the person who can't get a date, but then they get the perfect advice that they've been waiting for all their life, and they just meet the one. You know, you may have given somebody the tools they need to find a deck that makes their Hearthstone life just sing.
And if you find a date from what I said, well, good for you
all
too.
All the better. Oh man, that's great. Well, we'll move on into our community section here. We don't have any questions again. I want to try something different this week to kind of make it a bit more accessible. I know there are a lot of you guys that I'm talking with on Twitter and on our Google Plus community. I want to encourage you, if you have any questions for me or for the show, for guests that might be on, anything about this upcoming expansion, a deck that you're trying out, you feel free to email us at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com. We've always had that open, but also feel free to tweet at me with the hashtag for the show. If you do that, I'll go ahead and I'll respond to you, but we'll also integrate it somehow into the show. Same thing on Google Plus community. Just use that hashtag for the show. Pretty simple, and then we'll figure it out from there. No iTunes reviews this week either. It's been a few episodes since we've gotten some of those. So please, if you have not left a review on iTunes, go and do that. It takes you about 30 seconds and it really does a lot to help this show long term as far as other people being able to find us and stuff like that. So
I am totally going to go review the show after this.
Please do, man. Please do. And I will happily read that review next episode. Well, before you do that, though, Craig, I know that you have been preparing and have been really excited for your audio debut. I think you said that you were going to bring this to American Idol, but I was able to get you to come on the Happy Hearthstone to come and serenade us, man.
Oh, way to hype me up for me to fall.
You got nothing guys, to I... do but to impress us, man.
All right. So, card of the week, here's my song, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Bittersweet memories of facing down a 5-3, a jade when she arrives, and another jade when she dies. And I, your black paw is cool.
Okay, I have rarely been in stitches during the song, but that was phenomenal.
I'm a little off tone there, but hey, I had to try it.
That does not matter at all. Oh, Craig, tell us about Aya Black Paw.
Yeah, well,
while I pick
Aya
up the
Black...
pieces of my stomach.
Well, Aya Black Paw is both one of my favorite cards when I'm playing it and one of my least favorite cards when my opponent is playing it, because it's just the value and tempo in one card is just unreal to me. Like, Aya Black Paw in its worst case scenario is a 6-mana 5-3 that brings out a 1-1 and brings out a 2-2 when she leaves, which is already, sure, a little under par. But now when you're bringing out a 5-5 when it comes in and a 6-6 when it leaves, that's just...
kind of gross.
It's... It's like Dr. Boom, like, went to the gym for like 3 weeks and became a cute panda.
Right.
Like, it's weird. I think she's a panda anyway. She's adorable. She's a panda. She's got a cute. Okay, cool. She's got a cute voice. She's just like 6 mana 5/3 that's playable. Like, when does that happen? And like, even if they silence it, like, you had to waste a silence on something that already did a ton of work for me. And you know, and it fits in so many shells. Like, even like evolving an Aya is pretty good. You're getting that 6 mana 5/3 into a 7 mana, and you get the Jade into whatever. I love Aya, and like, Aya sounds like I love, so you can make it into a Whitney Houston song. So we're like, what is there to complain about?
Craig, you know, people come on the show all the time and bring on cards that they're fans of and stuff like that. I'm feeling like I need to get out of the room so you and I could just hang out for a little bit. It's getting a little awkward for me, man. I'm just playing. No, she's obviously a fantastic card. I think that, you know, in every Jade deck, it's just obvious that you want to throw her in. And I think that she is going to be missed in some ways, even though the Jade mechanic isn't necessarily going to be. I think people are pretty eager to see that leave in a couple months here. But she has been a lot of fun to throw into decks, and pretty versatile also.
Oh, yeah, she's a really cool card. I can't get over it. I love that card.
It's funny when you talk about the worst thing that you're getting is like a 1/1 and a 2/2. There have been times when I've gotten Aya off of like a Swashburglar or something like that, and I don't have Jades in my deck, but I'm really not upset to see her because I know that I'm going to get some value and get some bodies on the board and stuff like that. So,
oh, yeah, especially Bone Mare is the turn after. You're almost guaranteed to land a Bone Mare.
Yep, absolutely. That's why Karen has gotten so good lately, because turn 6, you like to play that and have almost a guaranteed body on board.
Exactly.
Well, we'll make some kind of tribute when she leaves standard rotation, but it sounds like you play enough wild that you'll be hanging out with Aya long after regardless.
Oh, yeah, she's my girl. Me and her, if I could, I'd hang out with her.
She'd probably be pretty cool. She might whip your butt, though. She seems like she's got a bad side to her, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like, oh,
she doesn't
man.
Mess around.
That's awesome. Panda Express should get her on the advertisements.
That might be a little bit weird, but... Sky's the limit. Well, hey guys, as we close out the show, so thankful for you. If you're listening to this, I want you to know, like, the big thing that makes the Happy Hearthstone different from all the other Hearthstone podcasts out there is that this show is all about you. It's about you coming on, talking about the decks you love, supporting the show, sending in your questions, going and hanging out in our Google Plus community. I mean, there's just so many ways to interact, and I've been so blown away by how you guys have jumped in to support this show, especially on Patreon. Patreon is always going to be the best way to support this show. And I'm still so thankful for all of you who have been on. In fact, just this past week, we busted through our fourth goal, which honestly is mind-blowing. I was thinking we'd be lucky if we hit one or two, but I've been just incredibly humbled by that. The great news is that as we hit those goals, we're able to do more. So now, because we hit that goal, we're actually going to host a monthly game night for everyone, whether you're a Patreon or not. Everyone's going to be able to jump in on these monthly game nights, hang out, we'll have fun, we'll play some wild and crazy decks, we'll have a good time, we'll help each other get better. I'm really eager to do that because it's going to be another great way for us to connect and have some fun together. That means that the last goal is the only one that's in our sights, which is, wait for it, weekly episodes. What? And here's the thing. I know that so many of you guys have been asking for that, and it's absolutely possible. So I am
so happy that you just said that, Andrew.
Come on, man. And especially you, with all the podcasts you're listening to, I'm sure you're ready for that, aren't you?
Oh, I hate seeing, like, on my podcast app, there's nothing worse than seeing something that's less than, that's been a week away, you know what I mean? Man. And I'm like, oh man, just come out weekly, please.
And honestly, I mean, I know I'm one of the few shows that does do every other week, But because this is all me, it's really tough to make margin with my family, with work and stuff like that. So that's why I was really excited to be able to make this. If we can hit this goal, it'll make a lot more sense for me to be able to do that, support my family, support you guys, and be able to have a lot of fun in the meantime. So definitely go check out patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. You can see the cool perks that you can get for supporting the show for as low as $1 a month, which, come on, everyone can afford $1 a month. You can get some shout outs on the show for that. There's also levels where you can get exclusive weekly content, monthly coaching sessions. I've had a lot of fun with the people that I've been able to coach this past month, and every dollar that you give makes a difference to support the show. I also want to thank the couple of guys who have jumped on since our last show, Adrian and Alejandro. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show. Your perks are on the way, and including a special gift. Because everyone who jumps on in the month of November is going to get something physically sent to them in the mail. I'm super excited. This is just a one-time thing I want to do to just send a very special thank you for those of you who are able to jump on and lay the foundation for our Patreon. It's going to be a great way for the show to not only continue, but to get better in the future. And speaking of that, I have to send a humongous thank you to Drunken Monk and Jordan L. for being producers of the Happy Hearthstone at the highest level. I feel you two's love and support every time we make this show, and I can't help but send a very special thank you you guys' way. You guys are awesome. Really appreciate it. Also, there are a lot of great free ways to support the show, like iTunes reviews and stuff like that. And even just telling people about the show, it makes a difference to help them find something, especially guys like Craig over here, who apparently can't get enough Hearthstone podcasts if they haven't heard of us. If you know that they're interested in the game or you know, might be, just tell them to check it out. Something free for them to consume and maybe get a little bit better. We've been trying to make some content that helps you guys get better, and I hope that definitely happens. There's a ton of ways to get in touch with me and the show. We've got our Google Plus community, a YouTube channel, Twitter at Andrews Living and the Happy HS. Our email is thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com. And there's a Happy Hearthstone group on Blizzard. So if you go to the show notes, which are all found at thehappyhearthstone.com, you can find all those links. One more quick thing that I have to do is thank all of you guys who came on to hang out at the 12-hour stream that I did a couple weeks ago. It was an absolute blast. It is something I will not do every single week because it was also totally draining, but you guys made it so fast and so much fun. Real quick, I just want to thank Josh Augustine, Major Death, Rod from Tier 5, The Eggman, Versica and Avantes from Hero Power, Blister Guy, Wicked Good, Steve, Not Rob from Villains Chosen, Cream Puff from Top Deck Kings, Chris Spivey, Matuna from 1600 Dust, and Boticus Ridiculous Hat, and Kenny from Coin Concede. It was just a party, in case you can't tell. It sounds like that's like your kind of people, right, Craig?
Oh, man. I know at least like 75% of the people you said.
And the 25% you would like also. So just...
Oh, I'll get to know them.
You will. A sincere thank you for all those people for coming on the show, but for everyone who is in Twitch chat, who even just shouted it out on Twitter or on social media, it meant the world to me, and I would be here all night just singing your praises. But thank you guys so much for making that so much fun. I'm hopeful I'll be able to do it again sometime in the future, but you guys know if you listen to the show, I'll keep you up to date. So, Craig, that's enough about me. You have a lot of thoughts about this game, and I have a feeling that I, as well as a lot of other people, are going to want to stay in touch with you to kind of glean from your wisdom. So how can they do that?
Well, you can find this wise man on Twitter. That's at Craig_RKR. I know the underscore is a little outdated, but I'm going to keep it like that for now. Once we get the followers, I might change it up. Now, I'm the producer of a small podcast called My Black Friend. It's on radiocircus.net. Guys, this podcast is a general discussion podcast where the whitest guy you know talks to the only black guy he knows, and it is not for young audiences. Please bear that in mind. Check them out. Debo is one of the hosts. He is a huge Hearthstone fanatic. He loves the game, and he would love to hear you guys. You know, if you do start listening to them, let them know that I sent you. That's My Black Friend. You can find it on anywhere that has an RSS feed, iTunes, Stitcher, or you can check out their website at radiocircus.net. And I'd like to plug one more podcast that I am not affiliated with. I just think they are doing amazing things. They're Jim and Them, jimandthem.com, Jim and Them on Twitter. It's Jim and Them everywhere. They've been doing this there for a long time, people. Check them out. It's one of the best podcasts I've ever listened to. It's a comedy show. And again, I can't stress this enough. It is not for younger ears, unless you guys want to dive into the wild side. So check it out. And honestly, thank you so much, Andrew. This has been a lot of fun.
Dude, no, totally. I know that, especially when I first started listening to Hearthstone podcasts, I had so many thoughts about Hearthstone. I needed to have some kind of outlet. So I'm thankful that you listened to the show, man, that you've been listening for so long, and really glad that we got to have you on. You got some good thoughts, man. I know 280 characters is even double what we had before on Twitter, but it may not be enough to hold all of your good thoughts with this new these new kobolds and stuff come through.
Right? I promise, guys, if you follow me on Twitter, I will not exceed 140 characters. You have my word.
Wow, that is a promise I can't make because I've already broken it, unfortunately. But
I'm very disappointed in you.
But Craig, I'm so thankful we had you on, man. Thanks for sharing and helping us get better at picking a good deck.
Yeah, no problem at all. Thank you for having me.
And thank you guys so much for listening to Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye!